I imagine that I listen to classical music as much as anybody in this room this morning. There's never a day that passes for what I do not have classical music going several hours. I mean 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Now the truth is, I don't know a thing about classical music. Not a thing. Only Bach I know is Carry Me Bach to Old Virginia. And Bach in the Hills where I was born. I don't know Bach from Mozart. I don't know Mendelssohn from Stephen Foster. I you could play anything except that one, Sailing by Debussy. I know what that one is. And I know the Lone Ranger one, too. I know that one. Boy, you got a cultured preacher. Now, you just heard the extent of my knowledge about composers. I'll be honest with you. I'm more impressed with the composed than am the composers. But I don't know anything about them, so I don't know. And when I'm listening to classical music, somebody asked the other day, he said, you listen to classics a lot? I said, yes, sir, every day. A lot of time a day. Heap of time a day. And said, who's your favorite composer? Only one I could think of was Mozart, and I didn't want to sound dumb, so I said Mozart. I don't know what Mozart wrote. He probably wrote one of those C sharp and C flat by A minor by Colonel somebody. But I don't know a thing about them. Not a thing. But I listen to classical music. And you say, why? Say why? I love harmony. I don't listen to it to learn who wrote it. I listen to it because I like to be around harmony. A couple, husband and wife, want to spend an evening. Young couple sitting and they want it by the fireplace, and it's a beautiful evening and it's snowing outside and they have the evening together. And she doesn't waddle yet, and he hasn't started his enlargement program yet, and he still has more hair on his head than it does on his chest, and they sit there. What do? Put on some good music. You know why? Because the harmony of the music creates the atmosphere for harmony between two souls. You can take, and they prove this, you can take and play classical music to plants, and after you play it a while, they'll lean toward the music and be healthy. You take rock music and play it to the same plants, and they'll lean away from the music and be unhealthy. Don't you wish you had as much sense as a fern? you watch sometimes on a television program when a real sweet moment is being enacted, they'll play harmonious music. But you wait till the guy gets the knife and heads for the guy, it's disharmony. Why? Because you associate sweetness and harmonious relationships with harmonious music. Not only do harmonious relationships foster harmonious music, but harmonious music fosters harmonious relationships. We're glad to have you this morning at the House Conservatory. We'll come back tonight for another music lesson. When I was pastoring in Texas, we had a man in the church named Kirk Kimmel. Kirk Kimmel was, at the time we were there, was a manager of a Wyatt cafeteria. And he took me down one day to the cafeteria and he said, I want you to notice something, preacher. He said to the organist there, it was noontime, the big long line, he said to the organist, he said, play some soft music, harmonious music. She played some soft harmony. And the people were going through the line, taking their food like that. Now you said play something that's jerky, and she played something that was jerky, and the people were taking the food like that. And I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what it did. He said, we can speed this line up by getting some jerky music. We can slow this line down by playing some soft music. And he said, that isn't all. He said, it's been proved that people will be healthier if they eat when harmonious music is being played than when the music is not in harmony. I probably read as much poetry as anybody in this room. And I don't know authors much. I don't know much who wrote what, but I read poetry. If I don't know the authors, don't really care. It's just not my cup of tea. But I love the poetry. Now, why do I love the poetry? Because poetry is a harmony of words. Just like music, good music, classical music, is a harmony of notes and sounds, poetry is a harmony of words. Bill Harvey said it one time. Bill Harvey is probably the best poet I know in fundamental circles. He said to me, he said, Brother Jack, did you know that you preach in poetry? In meter? Not rhyme, but in meter. I said, no, I didn't know that. He said, all right. He said, listen, he got a tape, played one of my sermons, and he said, now, you choose a two-syllable word here to make it meter right, or you could have chosen a one-syllable word. He said, what you don't know is that you preach in rhythm, you preach in poetry. And meter. What is meter? Meter is verbal harmony. That's what it is. That's why you ought to read poetry. That's why you ought to listen to good music. That's why you shouldn't listen to bad music. Because good music is sound harmony, harmony of sound, harmony of noise. Good poetry is verbal harmony. I love art. I do. I love art. There are not many weeks before I don't go into an art gallery somewhere and browse. I love art. Love it. In fact, I probably love art more than I love classical music and more than I love poetry. I love art. I just like to go and look at art. He's a good guy. I love art. Now, the truth is, I don't know Michelangelo from Da Vinci. I met them both once, but I've forgotten everything I knew about. You should laugh then, because you're showing your ignorance, but not laughing, I'll tell you for sure. I don't know. You showed your ignorance by laughing, that fellow did. Why? Why then, if you don't know the painters, and the artists, why do you love art? Because good art is harmony of colors. Good music is harmony of sound. Good poetry is harmony of verbal harmony, harmony of words. And good art is a harmony of colors. My favorite subject in high school, you won't believe it, was algebra. I cut up a lot. But I made A's all the way through in algebra. My favorite subject in high school. You know why? Because algebra is the most harmonious of the subjects I took in high school, other than the arts I mentioned a while ago. You know, the balancing of an equation is nothing but mathematical harmony. That's all it is. The balancing of your checkbook. That's why some of you folks can't sleep. That checkbook's balanced right down the penny. Why? Because that's mathematical harmony. Others of you people, you don't care. If you're within $100 of it, you don't care. That's a crowd, I guarantee you, that same crowd doesn't love verbal harmony, phonic harmony, color harmony. You don't like, you know, harmony is no, it's just not one of your, not a necessary thing for you. I was staying at a hotel not long ago, and the elevators, you had three elevators, and as you got off the elevator, the hallway turned this way, and then you went down to the hall where the rooms are. But right in front of you, as you got off the elevator, was a painting. And that painting was like that. It wasn't straight. Well, first thing I did, of course, I straightened it. First thing I did. Came back to go preach that night, and the painting was back like that again. I straightened it again. Came back home that night, thing was crooked like that again. I straightened it again. Then I stayed and watched it. And it fell. I straightened it again. Went to my room, went to bed, couldn't sleep. Think about that painting. Crooked. So, tried to forget about it, couldn't. Got out of bed, went down to the dress, went down to the desk, and said to the clerk, "You got a hammer." She said, "What do you need a hammer for?" I said, "Either a hammer or a maintenance man, one or the other. I can't sleep. I fix something." She said, "What is it?" I said, "On the fifth floor, there's a crooked painting." And I said, "It's going to be straightened before I go to bed." She said, "No maintenance man is here." I said, "Then give me a hammer." She gave me a hammer, some nails. I went up, straightened the painting, went to bed, went to sleep. That's what you call engineering harmony. Same thing. Why? I wanted to balance the equation. Same thing as the algebra balancing the equation. Dr. Evans and I were at the airport together not long ago. We rented a car. I took the car back in. It was early in the morning, real early in the morning, very early in the morning, too early in the morning, ridiculously early in the morning. The lady was there, and she didn't speak to me. I was turning the car back in. I said, "Good morning." She didn't speak. I said, "How are you?" She didn't speak. I said, "Who are you mad at?" She looked up and grinned. She said, "Nobody, it's early." I said, "Ma'am, it's as early on this side of the counter as on your side of the counter." She laughed, smiled. We chatted. Now you say, "Little House, what were you doing?" Same thing I was doing when I listened to classical music. I was creating harmony. I like harmony. God is a God of harmony. God is the God of the seven colors of the rainbow and the seven notes of the scale. God's the God of good music. You read the Bible, and you, by the way, somebody, "Why don't you preach the Bible? Quit talking about music." Much of the Bible is in music. "Oh, it's, I don't like poetry." You won't like the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Job. All that's poetry. You said it doesn't rhyme. But see, it's meter. It's meter. In good poetry, with it rhymes on. "So live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave, at night scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps the drapery of his couch." You see, it's meter. That's what it is. And so, the same thing, it makes me want to listen to classical music. I love harmony. I want to go into an art gallery. I love color harmony. Reason I like poetry, I love verbal harmony. Reason I want to, I like algebra, I like balancing the equation or mathematical harmony. I cannot stand an unfinished task. You know why? Because an unfinished task is an unbalanced task. And it is not harmony. Until you finish a task, you have no harmony whatsoever. Because you have a start without a finish. Here it is. Here's the balance. And you start something. You get halfway through. No finish. Goes like that. Like a weight. Goes like that. There's no harmony. I can't stand these little hourglass things that are shaped like that. They drive me nuts. I want to put some more dirt in one side of it and bring it up where they're equal. Why? Because I want to balance. Symmetry. Symmetry is harmony. Now, I must finish a task. I must have a finish for every beginning. I've said this before here, and I've got to hurry, but I can't. But so follow me carefully. I was talking to one of our daughters one day, not Cindy, and it wasn't Linda. One of the other ones. And she was having a little illness, Becky was. And she said, "Dad," I said, "I can help you, Puddin'." She said, somebody said, "It might be nerves." I said, "I can help you." And she said, "How?" And I said, "Don't talk on the telephone about people." Now, I wasn't talking about gossip. I don't think Becky's a gossip. and Cindy both are horrible gossips, but Becky's the one. But anyway, I said, don't talk about people. I mean, even good. Just don't do people talk. Don't talk about, oh, isn't it too bad so-and-so had so-and-so. Don't do that. Because you see, when you talk about people, you are presenting yourself with a problem you cannot solve. And you have an unbalanced equation. And that's why a lot of people in this room right now are frustrated and nervous, is because you talk about people and their problems and what you think you ought to do, and you've got a disharmony in your own breast, in your own mind, because you've got a bunch of dangling, unfinished threads hanging down in your mind. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You get a bunch of things started in the morning you can't finish before your husband gets home, and you're a nervous wreck. Why? I didn't get a thing done I planned to do. What was it? Disharmony. You had more beginnings than you had finishings. You had more starts than you had endings. And you got a mind that's not harmonious. And because of that, you're frustrated and you got some problems. Now quit talking about people and talk about things and ideas. Follow me carefully. That's one of the main things wrong with pornographic literature. Now, what's wrong with it? There are many things wrong. Here's the main thing wrong with it. Because you have started something in your mind and in your lust that you cannot legitimately, within the bounds of right, finish. Main thing wrong. Not only does pornographic literature make you have thoughts you shouldn't have and do things you shouldn't do, but it makes you frustrated. Why? Because you've got some passions that are started, and you can't, within the bounds of decency in this book, finish those passions. So get rid of that dirty literature, and get rid of your rotten movies, and get rid of your filth, and get rid of your HBO, and get rid of your Showtime, and get rid of your movie time, and quit stirring passions in your body that you can't legitimately and properly and morally and decently finish, because it's going to drive you batty. Yes. Be gone. That's disharmony. I run from disharmony. Run from it. I won't hang around. I won't stay. Where folks are fussing, I leave. I won't stay. No way. I won't participate in disharmony. Won't do it. Somebody wants to fuss at me, you fuss alone, because I'll be gone. I won't do it. I won't. Listen, you sailors. Listen, sailors. God is a God of harmony. He's a God of sound harmony. He's a God of mathematical harmony. He's a God of color harmony. He's a God of verbal harmony. He's a God of moral harmony. He's a God of engineering harmony. He's a God of mental harmony. It's going to surprise you. I'm the place where I don't like to play games. I don't like to play checkers. You know why? Because somebody I love is going to lose. And I'm afraid it'll be the one I love the most. God knows I don't like to lose. But if I played checkers with Hutchinson down here, of course, I know I'd win. But I don't want to see him lose either. Isn't that strange? I'm concerned about the Super Bowl. I've got friends in New York City with the thousands whom I love dearly. And I've got friends in Denver with the thousands whom I love dearly. And I don't know for whom I want to pull. I used to like to play stuff. I don't like to play stuff anymore. Why? Because I don't want anybody I love to lose. And of course, they play me, they're going to. But let me give you a good example. And I'm going to go down in a minute to application, but I'm trying to lay a big, firm foundation about the subject. Now, follow me carefully. I stay in motel rooms and hotel rooms every week. Something bothers me. The heat. I wish you could see me. First place, I cannot sleep under a draft. Can't do it. Ever since I got that letter from President Roosevelt, drafts bother me. The word draft bothers me. In fact, that one draft made me sick for 2.5 years. But I can't. can't sleep under a draft. I just can't do it. I mean, I'll get a sore throat. I'll get hoarse. I'll get a bad cold. I'll get bronchitis. I can't do it. And you ought to see my motel room. Sometimes my hotel room looks like I've got a tent set up in there. If the air conditioner heater blows on my head, I'll put a chair there. I've taken the shower curtain down, hung it on the wall in front of it so the air will blow against the shower curtain and come around. I've put chairs beside the bed and covered all the chairs with towels, and I'll sleep right beside the wall. I'll be between me and the air conditioner. Here's what I don't like about it. Most of your air conditioners in rooms, they're individual units. And they'll blow cold air out until the thermostat says it needs hot air. Then they'll blow hot air out until the thermostat says it's hot enough. Then they'll blow cold air out in the first place. It's a waste of money. You're making it colder, so you have to turn the heat on and make it hotter. But some heating units blend the air. And your air comes out the temperature of the room. That's harmonious air. It blends. And so the air coming out 40 degrees for a while, and then 90 for a while, and then 40 for a while, then 90 for a while, it comes out 68 or 70 all the time, like a car heater does. Now, I run from disharmony. I want harmony to be a way of life for me. Complaining affects me like a shovel on concrete. I can't help it. Why? Because I believe in living a life of harmony. And I believe that God is the God of harmony, and God is the God of art, and God is the God of music, and God is the God of words, and God is the God of literature, and God is the God of peace. In fact, Jesus is called the Prince of Harmony, or the Prince of Peace. And God is the God of peace, and He said, "My harmony give I unto you, not the harmony that the world gives, but my harmony give I unto you." And I live in a world of harmony, and I won't be around it. I won't stay around complaining. I hate it. It grinds me. I don't mean I get mad. I mean it affects my nervous system, just like my singing affects yours. The other day I was preaching in a couple of their former opera people singing, named Gibbs. Beautiful voices. Well, of course, as you know, I sing in my preaching every once in a while. And I asked him at the lunch table, I said, that "I'm giving some thought to going to full-time gospel concert work. What do you think, Mrs. Gibbs?" She said, "Well, I think your heart's right." Years ago, when the kids were home, everybody in the family would get around the piano and be singing. And I tiptoe up behind them, and I'd start singing, and everybody would go. Why? Disharmony. I mean, your griping affects me like my singing affects you. Why? Because my singing is out of harmony, and your griping is out of harmony. And you can listen to a person who loves music, disharmony is repulsive. To a person who loves peace, disharmony is equally repulsive. Now, if I get you to love peace as much as you love music, then I can make a Christian out of you. But you're not going to live in a world of disharmony and have harmony with God and harmony with friends. You see, all the things I've said are to say this. Jesus is the Prince of Harmony, and the devil is the destroyer of harmony. The devil is Jesus, Prince of Peace or Harmony, and the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Anytime you find anybody who tries to hurt somebody and tries to criticize somebody and tries to slander somebody and tries to spread stuff on somebody, I'll guarantee you that's not harmony, and that's of the devil. Bible said you're not supposed to break up friends. You're not supposed to criticize each other. That's of the devil. And I won't do it. Why? Because I live in harmony. I live in musical harmony. I live in art harmony. I live in sound harmony. I live in color harmony. I live in verbal harmony. I live in engineering harmony. I live in mathematical harmony. And if I live in a world of harmony, the more harmony I have, the more disharmony grinds me. And the more complaining grinds me. I don't mean I say, I hate, I don't, it doesn't make me mad. Complaining, it goes up and down my spine. And I feel like I'm going to crack up or throw up. Or throw up and then crack up. Why? Because I try to live in a world of harmony. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the harmony makers. For they shall be called... Isn't this good? Blessed are the harmony makers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, if blessed are the harmony makers, then unblessed are the disharmony makers. See? So, blessed are the harmony makers. And that's what salvation is. Look, salvation is when man gets in harmony with his God. That's all it is. Now, the more you can have your children to love harmony and see harmony, the more likely they are to get saved. If your children cannot stand disharmony, they can't stand complaining, they can't stand fussing, they can't stand confusion, they can't stand disharmony between each other, then when they find out that they're not right with God, they'll want to get right with God. Why? Because they live in a world of harmony, and you live in a world of harmony, then you're going to want to rightly relate yourself with your God. You know why? The homes of America are shot because the music in the homes is shot. You know why the relationships in America are shot? Because the art is shot. And the literature is shot. Go down to some little stupid store, bookstore, what word I want here? Newsstand, and pass up decent literature to grab a dirty magazine. What are you doing? You're buying disharmony and turning your back on harmony. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have harmony with our children and harmony in our relationships and harmony in our churches till we have harmony in our lives. And you do your child a favor when you make that child finish his homework. That is harmony. And you do that child a favor when you teach that child good music. That is harmony. You do that child a favor when you teach that child poetry. That is harmony. And you do that child a favor when you have no fussing and complaining and griping in your home, because that child is being taught that a way of life is harmony, and harmony is a way of life, and that child will not lack disharmony. And by the way, you're doing your future son-in-law a favor too. And you're doing your future daughter-in-law a favor too. If you will keep in your life, in your home, your taste, all of it, you deal in harmony. Now that's the reason I listen to the classics. Listen, if I read the most harmonious book ever written and listen to sound harmony and read verbal harmony and enjoy color harmony and enjoy mathematical harmony and enjoy the balancing of engineering harmony, then I in my life will develop a taste for harmony. The average home today is a rat race. You know one reason? Because mama's housekeeping doesn't have any harmony. And daddy's television programs have no harmony. And mama's soap operas have no harmony. Every one of those things cause a problem not to be solved, so you'll come back tomorrow to see how it's solved, which means they leave you with an unbalanced equation and disharmony, and that for a whole day you're in disharmony. Why? Because the equation has not been balanced yet. You've got a beginning with no end. You've got a problem with no solution. You've got a question with no answer. And that means it's out of sync and out of harmony. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He died to make harmony. The wages of sin is death. That means you got on one side, you got a sin debt. Jesus came, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean? It means that Jesus came to balance the books, balance the equation, make harmony between God and man. Man owed a debt. God had to get paid. The debt had not been paid. Jesus came to pay the debt, to balance the weights, to balance the equation, so man could be in harmony with God again. And if you want to be like Jesus, you try to make folks, bring folks together in harmony. Jesus came to bring harmony. That's what the whole universe is about. The universe ran according to perfect harmony until man sinned and messed it all up. Jesus came to put it back in order again. And harmony is nothing but proper order and proper blending of elements, sounds, verbs, words, colors, figures. Now don't you think the one that loves harmony would be easier to get along with? If you loved harmony? Don't you think that the person that loves harmony can get along better with other people that love harmony? I know folks that love to fight, love strife, enjoy it. I know people that are not happy. I know preachers not happy unless they're in a fight. Not me, brother. Not me. I told Brother Olaf one time, I said, I'd rather have my name in the Guinness Book of Records than the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I know people that love to scrap. Not me. Why? I know why you love to scrap. Because you listen to scrappy music. You read scrappy literature. You look at scrappy, this modern art. Throw two eggs and a bottle of ketchup on a board, scrape it up, and you've got something you can sell for $1 million. What is it? It's disharmony. Not symmetrical. Cattywampus. Out of order. Out of God's order. You give me a beautiful scene that somebody paints from nature that God made. Because that's harmony. God blends His colors in harmony. You just the birds singing in the morning. No disharmony. Always just harmony. Why? Because God is a God of harmony. Now follow me carefully. Give your child a chance. Have a harmonious life. Give him a chance. You wonder why we have a bunch of nervous wrecks in our country and the kids grow up with nervous wrecks and can't get along with each other and fuss and fume and fight like heathen? I'll tell you why. Because they're growing up in houses where the music is not harmonious and the art is not harmonious and the literature is not harmonious and the television is not harmonious and the radio is not harmonious and the conversation is not harmonious. And there's griping and fussing and complaining. No wonder they don't want to get in harmony, get right with God and make peace with God and be in harmony with God. If they ever got in harmony with God, it'd be the first harmony they ever saw. That's what a schedule is. A schedule is harmony of hours, harmony of time. That's what it is. I live by schedule. Same thing as it's the harmony of time. Somebody said, come to Jesus and you'll love peace. That's true, but let me turn it around. You love peace and you want to come to Jesus. You teach a child to love peace. When he hears that he's not at peace with God, he'll want to be at peace with God. If you say to a child who's grown up in harmony, you say to that child when he's old enough to know he's a sinner, you say to that child, you're not with God, but you could be if you'd come to Jesus and realize that He paid the penalty for you. But God's not pleased with you because you're not His child. Little child probably said, I want God pleased with me. You know why? Because he wanted Mama pleased with him. You know why? Because he wanted Daddy pleased with him. You know why? Because the symmetry of the home and the taste of the home have all been a part of God's divine order of harmony. And in any area where disharmony comes, He won't like it. I want to be in harmony with Him. I want to be in harmony with my God. And if I, and that's what it means. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. What is she singing? Harmony with God. That's it. Now, if I am at harmony with God, listen now, I must know God's order. And God's blending. And as I associate with harmony, then I want to come and find harmony through Christ with my God. And then, I'll want to get along with people. You say to somebody, on Monday he's at a disco. On Tuesday, he's listening. Hound dog, give me that hound dog. On Wednesday, he's at a modern art gallery watching scrambled eggs. Catch it. Watches the dirty TV full of disharmony. You wonder why he can't get along with his brother. Well, the kids fuss at each other. Because the kids have not had implanted by mom and dad. You say, you're a snob. No, you're a fool. Reason you don't like art, you don't like the woods. You'd rather watch concrete than flowers. You'd rather watch brick and mortar than trees and leaves. You curse the snow because the only place you ever see it stacked up in front of your house. And you have never gotten in tune with the Prince of Harmony, the harmonious God who blends everything in creation to a beautiful balance. And once you get in harmony with the Prince of Harmony, then you'll be a peacemaker or a harmony maker. And for you not to be right with God will cause you to just cringe. To realize that something's between me and God. Oh, I can't live this way. I can't live this way. Why? Same thing that the scraping on the concrete with the shovel does. It goes against your nervous system because your nervous system has been trained to live in harmony. Three things. One is you hang around harmony. All kinds of harmony. Number two. You be a harmony maker. You try to bring peace with each other, to other people. Bring folks together instead of apart. And number three, you properly relate yourself with your God. And find the harmonious relationship when you and your God blend in perfect fellowship, which is, in essence, perfect harmony. If this morning you are here, and you're not right with God, you're out of harmony. Something wrong. There's a foul note being sung. Somebody's off key. There's a discordant note being sounded between you and God. This morning, if you're not right with God, you come to the foot of the cross, which is the great balancer, the great harmonizer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. True, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're here and you've never taken time to receive Him, then your whole life's out of harmony. And that's why the world loves this music that is not harmonious. That's why the world goes to the bebop place and the rock music place and the HBO stations and the movie channels. If you got one of those, you ought to burn it. I can look at them not having evil thoughts, but you can't look at them and have harmony because they create disharmony. The other day, and I'll close with this, I was watching the news, motel room. Many of you saw it. They made an announcement that a certain fellow, I think the treasurer or something of Pennsylvania, had been convicted and been given a sentence of prison. At a press conference, he said, Stand back. I'll show you something. I'll let you see something. Pulled out a gun. Waved him back. Said, "What's this?" Stuck the gun in his mouth. Pulled the trigger. And blew his brains out. Follow me carefully. When I was watching that on the news, some stations showed the actual shot. Showed it. I don't know whether mine's going to or not. But you know what I did? When he got to that place where he put that gun toward his mouth, I ran to the bathroom. Locked the door. Closed the door. Why? Didn't want to see it. Why? Disharmony. At night, they played back again on the news. So they said some stations actually saw it. I didn't know what they were going to do. Did the same thing that night. Why? I didn't want to see it. Why? Because it brings disharmony. That's why you can't sleep at night. That's why you have nervous problems. You're living a life of disharmony. And when you live a life of harmony, it'll bring you to Christ. You live a life with Christ, it'll bring you to harmony. Father, bless the message.